This episode of the Productivityist Podcast is brought to you by Blinkist. Now, I've been using Blinkist forever. It's the only app that takes the best key takeaways, need-to-know information from thousands of nonfiction books, and then condenses them down into just 15 minutes so you can read or listen to them anywhere at any time that you want. I've got a special offer for Blinkist that we'll get to during the show, so stick around to get that. This episode of the Productivityist Podcast is also brought to you by the University of California, Irvine's Division of Continuing Education. If you're trying to start a new career, build a company, or better develop an appreciation of the world around you, UCI Division of Continuing Education has the resources needed to support your undertaking. I'll have more to say about the UCI Division of Continuing Education during the podcast, so stick around. But for now, let's get on with the show. Welcome to the Productivityist Podcast. I am your host, Mike Vardy, the founder of Productivityist, and I am really excited to have Mary Shores joining me on the show today. She's the author of Conscious Communications. We're going to talk about conscious communications on this show and how to communicate consciously. Mary, to give you a bit of background on her, she spends her career as an author, speaker, and entrepreneur. She's generating positive and pragmatic solutions for people who are freaking out. So Mary blends personal experience with her extensive knowledge of neuroscience and human behavior to guide businesses and individuals to defeat the freakout and create their ideal life. We dive into that, all the stuff that goes on inside of her book. We spend a particular amount of time diving into that. So let's just get to it. Here is my conversation with Mary Shores here on the Productivityist Podcast. Enjoy. I'd like to welcome Mary Shores to the Productivityist Podcast. Mary, thanks for joining me today.
My pleasure.
So I love it when I can get a guest who is one of the things I always do before I get into a call or an interview with a guest is I always ask how to pronounce their last name. And first off, I didn't ask that. I made the assumption it is Shores, right? It's not Shores or anything like that, is it?
You got it right the first time.
All right. You are the author of the book, Conscious Communications, your step-by-step guide to harnessing the power of your words to change your mind, your choices, and your life. And one of the things that we talked about before we started the interview, as well as, you know, it's mentioned sort of in your book, is the effect that Tony Robbins has had on you. And one of the things I'd like to get into a little bit is how that, going to his events and how his work has kind of was one of the things that kind of affected you. I want to get into the rest of your journey as well, but because Tony Robbins's work has definitely impacted me as well. So how did his journey kind of impact yours?
Well, in so many ways, and still continues to do so to this day. So I would say that this goes back to 2005. You know, the world had not really heard of Tony Robbins at this point. And I was at a business meeting, like a business networking meeting, and my buddy, he goes, I've planned this outrageous life for myself, and I'm going to this Tony Robbins event. And he went on and on about this event. And I really was like, well, I want to have an outrageous life too. So I bought a ticket for myself and my husband, who's now my ex-husband. We went to the event and I found it really particularly life-changing. And I love talking about it because, you know, I feel like I was still super young and impressionable because it was 2005. But the concepts that I learned at Tony Robbins, I was able to immediately go back to my life and go back to my office and implement certain things. And, you know, when you go to like a 50-hour seminar, because that's what this, you know, Unleash the Power Within an event is like, it's like 50 hours in 4 days, you get bombarded with so much information. And I remember very clearly that I just took like the main takeaways and applied them. And one of those things was like, always know your outcome. And another one, which is a very similar type of concept, is what you focus on grows. And just with those two things, I increased my business revenue 34% in the first year alone. I ended up, you know, it basically planted all the seeds of what is now happening in my life in 2018.
So for me, it was, you know, just the idea. And I think a lot of people, when I first came across him, it was same thing. I think only Night Owls really knew who he was because the infomercials were on really late at night.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, he's created a lot of stuff. I mean, I look over to my right here on my bookshelf, and the one book that I have of his that I have not looked at yet is The Money One, which is probably the one I should look at. I should at least dive into that a little bit more. But the Time of Your Life program, when you started talking about what was called OPA back then and RPM, it was kind of one of the things that was the catalyst for me to start going down this path of diving into personal productivity. And it sounds like one of the catalysts for you to dive into this idea of conscious communications, which, you know, at face value, most people would look at this at the very, very front, you know, looking at this title page and the cover and would go, oh, so this is how you communicate with others. But that's not entirely the case, is it? It's not just about communicating with others. In fact, there's a lot more to it than that.
Yeah, the title is kind of intriguing because one of the things that I started to develop, again, with those seeds that Tony Robbins planted was a communication strategy that I developed at my office, which is actually called Words That Work. And it's talked about somewhat in the book. But what I did for the book was I took all these same strategies and made it more inward about your personal development instead of about your outward communications. But it really works. It really works both ways. And so the business that I'm in is debt collections. And the goal that I was, that outcome that I was looking for is that I wanted people to be happier at the end of the call than they were at the beginning of the call, because like debt collections in general has a negative stigma to it. And rightly so, by the way, because debt collectors are notorious for behaving badly and being very dehumanizing to the consumers that they're trying to collect from. And so I really started getting these ideas about how I could reverse that and created this communication strategy. But everyone that was learning the communication strategy was telling me, like, this is changing my life. This isn't just changing my business. This is changing my life. So it became like the perfect platform for me to create both a professional development program and a personal development program.
Reframing is such an important part of it. Like you said, I when I would get calls from debt collectors back in the day, I would if it was an unknown name, unknown number, in the early days of call display, I'd be like, I'm not answering that because I know it could be someone like that. And you're right, it was very antagonistic. So when you reframe kind of the way you communicate, then that old saying, you know, you don't draw flies with vinegar, you draw them with honey, right? So, I want to talk a bit about more about reframing, because that's a common theme that we hear about with Tony Robbins' work. He dives into it, but you had, and this is one of the things that as we were going through the book, my wife and I talked about this, but you had a tragedy and you know, I don't want you to, you can talk about it a little bit, but it's definitely something you dive into the book and, how you had to reframe it so that you could not just, you know, take it and live with it, but just like, you know, move forward, right? Can you talk a little bit about how reframing things like that tragedy, you can dive into the dive into the incident if you want a little bit, but how you reframing has helped you with things of that nature that are both incredibly tragic and also things that might be incredibly trivial?
Oh, that's such a great spin that you just put on that last part about it, because it's, you know, okay, so yeah, I do want to dive into that. So, you know, it's no secret that I have definitely lived through some traumas. And so there's actually been more than one incident, but I would say that some of the darkest times in my history have been some situational things that happened, like with my family when I was growing up, nothing life or death or violent or anything like that, but just some really terrible things. Also, early on in life, I had a daughter who passed away from a really horrific brain damage, where she was basically a vegetable. Not what I mean, really, literally a vegetable, blind, deaf, was unable to swallow, was kept alive on life support. And also through the divorce that I went through in 2008, which was actually the thing that just about did me in and had to like really start over from that. So I think that one of the things that to give me this like bounce back factor, if you will, or this immense well of resilience that I've created throughout my life, it's that when you understand that traumas are rarely about the thing that happened, trauma is more understood by the residual effect that it has in your present day situation. And so when you've gone through something that is tragic in your past, reframing, or like what I like to say is telling a new story, will determine which fork of the road that you take. Because if you know my life story, then it's really, I should have become a statistic. I should not have become an entrepreneur, best-selling author. You know, I should not have lived that life. I should have went down a very dark path, but I didn't, because I was able to like understand that the most beautiful part of your story, even when these terrible things happen, the more empowering part and the more impactful part is in how did you move on? And so when you look at your circumstances in this way that creates you to be a victim, then you make choices that a victim makes. Your behaviors, your patterns, the way that your life is impacted on a daily basis is through this like veil or this perception of being a victim. Whereas when you look at yourself as someone who's overcome something, then you can look at yourself through a perception of empowerment. And then you're making choices that an empowered person makes. And I would say that that's just a very important distinction.
Agreed. And one of the things that I found fascinating about just this idea that you know, those making those choices and embracing those things is people do this a lot with time too, right? They say, I don't have control over my time. There's no way that I have that. And when you have that mindset, then yeah, you won't. You know, you just are like, well, that if that's what you believe, and if that's what you continue to harbor and foster and nurture. And it's funny because you hear the terms like foster, nurture, and you think, oh, those are good, soft, friendly words. But if you apply them to the wrong things, then they're only good and soft and friendly to whatever they're applied to, the victimhood, like you talked about, or anything that is going to push you further away from the things that you really could or would like to achieve. One of the things that I found in your book, and it was, as I was going through it, I remember it brought me back to being in London in late 2017, and I was watching the movie. It was the Sylvester Stallone movie, Oscar, a terrible, but like guilty pleasure movie. And in that movie is an actor that you talk about, Chaz Palminteri, and I hope I pronounced that right, but Chaz was in the film, and he had a really great role. Can you talk a little bit about, you know, what, when, cause you had an encounter with Chaz, right? Like you had this idea that, hey, you know what, can you talk a little bit about that? Because it was one of those things where it came out in the book, and I'm like, that's kind of that kind of threw me for a bit of a pattern break, I guess, kind of like a classic Tony Robbins thing too. It kind of threw me for a loop a little bit. So can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, you didn't see that little twist coming.
No.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. So the town that I live in, we have a film festival here, even though it's a small town. It's the hometown of the famous film critic Roger Ebert, and so because of that, we have this like ongoing film festival. And it was shortly after Roger Ebert died. I was I'm a sponsor of this event through my company, and we had the movie A Bronx Tale, which is a really amazing movie in 1993, and it's actually a mafia, like a gangster movie, but I found this to be a life-changing movie, and I'm watching it, and it was amazing. And at the end of the movie, they all have some guests come on stage, and to like everyone's shock and amazement, the person that came out on stage was Chaz Palminteri, and he walks out on the stage, and with his microphone, he says, "Hello, my name is C." Now, what's fascinating about that is the main character in the story is this character C. It's actually Chaz Palminteri's true life story.
Wow.
So we're watching this movie. We're not understanding when we're watching it that it's a true story. It's not made up stuff. So later on, there's like this after party, and I'm at the after party, and I'm just sitting there thinking to myself, like, oh, I hope Chaz Palminteri walks through that door. I hope he walks through that door. And he does. But of course, like, everyone swarms around him because he's a big star and I'm like a big nobody. So it's like, oh, I made my way to introduce myself to him and shook his hand. And I said, "Do you think you came into this life to play this role?" And Mike, that was the exact right question to ask, because that man pulled me into a screening room. Mm-hmm. He left his own party and pulled me into the screening room and talked to me for the rest of the evening. He told me so many things about the movie. Like, he told me all this inside stories about the movie. And more importantly, he looked at me and he said, in all that gangster, you know, Chaz Palminteri voice, mm-hmm. he's like, this is no accident. This is no coincidence that we've met. We were meant to meet, and I need to tell you these things. And it was almost like this just loving uncle that wanted to impart all this wisdom to me. The reason the movie was so impactful for me is one of the lines in the movie is, the choices you make will shape your life forever. Yeah. And that really, the chapter that you're talking about, that really is an important part of that chapter, is to understand, like, that everything we say, everything we do, every word we say, every choice we make in the thinnest, slightest moments of life is either creating deeper connections to what we want, or it's driving disconnections.
All right, we're going to take a break to talk about one of our sponsors for this episode, Blinkist. Now, Blinkist is a service I've been using forever, not just to read the books, to get those takeaways in the 15-minute time frame I was talking about off the top of the show, but also to listen to them too, because sometimes I'm walking to pick up my kids from school and I want to have something I can listen to during the 15-minute walk and I can get the key takeaway. Sometimes I just sit down in my office here and do the same thing, so I can kind of distill them down sitting at my desk and go, what are some of the key takeaways, to figure out if I want to pick up the full version of the book, or just because, you know, I've got a lot of books here that I need to read anyway. And to have some of these books coming at me through Blinkist, like Paul Jarvis's book, The Company of One, it's in Blinkist. I really like Blinkist because in less than 15 minutes, I can fast track my path to a more intelligent and more informed person, which is going to help me be more developed. I learn from, you know, modern, contemporary nonfiction authors. I learn from the classics that are in there. I mean, there's classics like, you know, How to Win Friends and Influence People by Dale Carnegie. That is in there. Those are, you know, again, some of the other ones that are Emotional Intelligence by Daniel Goleman. I have Daniel Goleman's books. I do not have Emotional Intelligence. Now I can do that in there. You know, with Blinkist, I get so many options. I've been using Blinkist for years. As a matter of fact, you know, when I found out they were coming on to be a sponsor, I was elated because, you know, I know the value that Blinkist has to offer. And there's an incredible value for you, the Productivityist Podcast listener, to get for a limited time a 7-day free trial. So go to Blinkist.com/timecrafting to get a free 7-day trial of this fantastic service. That's Blinkist, spelled Blinkist.com/timecrafting. And you can start your free 7-day trial today. That's Blinkist.com/timecrafting. You will not regret this decision, because Blinkist is definitely the place you want to be. 8 million people can't be wrong. It's got a massive and growing library, and you want to be part of that. So again, Blinkist.com/timecrafting. I'd like to thank Blinkist for sponsoring this episode of the Productivityist Podcast. And now let's get back to the show.
You know, you look at the cover, and, you know, obviously the title, you know, and this is what most people do. They'll pick up a book, they'll be on Amazon right now. They've gone there because they've clicked on the link in the show notes. They're like, I want to know more. And they see the title, they see your name. And then in the subtitle, harnessing the power of your words is what is the most bold. In fact, it's even, you know, it's a different color, most bold. When you're talking about the power of words and how your words can kind of, you know, again, help you as you shape your life and frame and create this tapestry that you know, you can have in life, the one that you want to live. I want to know, without giving away, I mean, again, people need to pick up the book, but what are some of those words that are powerful, both, again, and we go back to this whole idea of incredibly powerful for these that will help you move forward, but also ones that will turn the moments that might seem trivial into something more?
That's such an amazing question. So when I think of the power of words, it's not as much as like I'm going to choose this word over that word, but it's the intentions and the meaning behind the words. And I really do believe that words have the power to trigger. So like when I early on was creating my communication strategy and wanting these consumers to feel better about paying their debt, because having a debt is such a psychological burden, to the point where it literally builds a brick wall between a person and the life of their dreams. Just to give you like a quick example of what I mean, it's about the way you use the words. That's the important thing. So for 10 years, Mike, I had this like huge dream to publish this book. This was a 10 years dream come true. And I, back in those days though, I would walk around and I would say to anyone who would listen to me, I want to write a book, but I'm not a writer. And see, the reason words are so powerful is because they are like a mirror to your subconscious mind. And when you hear me say the words, I want to write a book, it's like you can see them written on my soul. Like I have this purpose to come here and write this book, just like Chaz. But I've got a big problem when the next words out of my mouth are, but I'm not a writer. Because those words are also revealing something from my subconscious. And what it is making me aware of is that somewhere, somehow, sometime in my past, I picked up the belief that I'm not actually capable of writing a book. And as long as that belief exists in my subconscious, no way am I writing a book. So what I have to do is figure out how to change that belief. And one of the ways that I did that, well, in fact, the major way that I did that was just by simply investing in myself and going to a writer's workshop. And see, at that writer's workshop, a magical thing happened, because I spent a week with Cheryl Strayed, who, by the way, is an amazing writer. I mean, her book Wild was turned into a movie. And she's a great writing teacher. She was my first writing teacher. At the end of that week, I wrote a short story about my daughter who passed away in 1993. I wrote, it was also paralleled with raising my son who's on the autism spectrum. He's 18 now. And what it's like being a single parent of a special needs child where there's really just no rule book. And I paralleled that with my roller coaster journey as an entrepreneur. And at the end of the week, when I read my story to the class, no one laughed at me. No one told me I wasn't a writer. It was the opposite. People stood in line with tears to hug me and ask me questions. But see, what happened was that my subconscious got the evidence that it needed, that eventually that evidence is the thing. It's the key that changed my thoughts. And when my thoughts change, well, then your feelings about something change and your words change and your actions change and then your results change, because within 7 months of that day, I had a book deal with Hay House.
All right, we're going to take a break from the proceedings once again to talk about another sponsor of the show, UCI Division of Continuing Education. That's the University of California, Irvine's Continuing Education Division. Now, it was established in 1962, and the UCI Division of Continuing Education has been offering education for adult learners in Orange County for over half a century. But you don't just have to live in Orange County to take part in any of the certificate programs or specialized study programs that UCI Division of Continuing Education offers. They maintain over 30,000 enrollments from students worldwide each year and offer hundreds of exciting courses and programs to local, regional, and global constituencies. They offer programs in a wide range of categories as well, from business to IT, healthcare, finance, and law. And courses are taught by expert instructors with industry experience, both online courses and offline courses. So courses in real world experiences. But the online courses offer flexibility and a real immersive classroom experience as well. So if you're trying to start a new career or build a company, or even better, develop an appreciation of the world around you, UCI Division of Continuing Education has the resources needed to support your undertakings. So I encourage you to check out what UCI Division of Continuing Education has to offer. Spring quarter is coming up and registration is open. So visit ce.uci.edu/podcast and enter promo code podcast for 15% off of one course. Now that discount is for almost all of the certificate programs. The exceptions only include test prep courses and some of the educational credentials programs. Remember, this offer is only valid until March 31st at 11:59 p.m. So visit ce.uci.edu/podcast and enter that promo code podcast to get that 15% off while time is valid. I'd like to thank UCI Division of Continuing Education for sponsoring this episode of the Productivities Podcast. Now, let's get back to the show.
It's funny. As you were talking about that, I'm thinking about something that my wife shared with me, and it was quite
the words are so powerful, because when I was reading something she shared with me, one of the things that came out, and I'll just quickly, I'm looking at it right now, was someone said that they finally settled on their lifelong dream. And I read that, and I was like, that wording just sounds incredibly off to me. And the reason it sounds off to me is that you finally settled on your lifelong dream. Is that your lifelong dream? Is it just the words that you used are incorrect? Do you mean like finally achieved or finally reached? I mean, there was a bunch of things that led to that point. Obviously, I'm giving you a small snippet. So again, I look at that what this person put in writing, and I'm wondering, number one, how is this how they really feel? Did they miswrite it? Are they clear on what is this their lifelong dream? Words, like you said, they're so powerful. I love triggers as well. Visual ones. Like I've got Green Lantern stuff all over my office. I'm looking right now at the Incredibles villain Syndrome from the original Incredibles movie. And every time I look at him, I think of the quote, when everyone is super, no one will be, which is how I look at my tasks on my to-do list, right? Which if every task is important, then none of them are. So everything has meaning, and it creates this story or this communication in my head. And one of the things that all this leads to for me is I love to journal and chronicle this stuff as I go through things. I've not stopped journaling. I've had an ongoing journaling habit for the past, I would say, at least 4 years now. I wish I'd started it sooner. When people are trying to reframe, rewire their brains and have more conscious communications with themselves and with others, is journaling one of those things that can really, really help you? And do you journal as well?
I do. And I do all different kinds of stuff. I'm a big daily practice person. You know, during our offline chat, we were talking a little bit about James Altucher. And, you know, he's got that thing, the 10 ideas a day.
Yep.
And I love that, right? Like, because that grew my brain cells by at least a million or two. Like, it was just such a fun daily practice. So I think that when in terms of journaling, it can mean so many different things for so many different people.
Right.
But I like to create a daily practice. And I think that a lot can come out of it. You know, I've heard so many different modalities. Like, there's no way we could go into each one of them. But I can tell you that for your listeners, the download that we are giving you in the link is actually a journal page where you're going to have a daily practice of every day, like three things you're grateful for, which I could like talk for hours about the neurology behind gratitude. But just know that from a neurological standpoint, when you do create a daily practice of gratitude, what happens is you're really priming the neural networks in your subconscious mind that are developing to find the things in your life that are good. And before too long, you start to notice different opportunities around you, which is really cool. And the next one is that, and I do this every day, it's to write down three things every day, three moments that you're proud of, because again, like everything I do is based on all of my neurological research, which is one of the things that I love about this work that I do in conscious communications. But when you take a moment to reminisce on a small win from the day, what's happening in your subconscious is you're actually, again, you're strengthening or you're priming that neural network to your strategic thinking abilities. Have you ever noticed, Mike, like when the guys tell the big fish story that they caught, that fish gets bigger every time they tell the story?
Yeah, and it's not just fish stories either. There's a bunch of stories that we tell that you know, it's like the grapevine, right? You know, as things go down the grapevine, the story changes. And yeah, no, I totally get where you're going.
So, but it's because, you know, that's very real to them. And it's building something in their subconscious, which is the strategy that they use to catch the fish in the first place. And it's that strategy that's the powerful thing. You know, it's that strategy that we want to invest in. And then the last part of that particular journal exercise is three things every day that you desire.
And that we've got the link, of course, to get that. Which is one of the reasons why I wanted to lead into that so nicely as we get close to wrapping things up. But the one thing that I want people to take away from this book, there's lots of takeaways. It's a great, you know, but it's not just a book about a lot of books that are written that are, you know, personal development, and I'm doing air quotes. No one can see this right now. Is that there's nothing. The action plans at the end are either non-existent or they are not consistent throughout. You designed this with that exact opposite idea in mind. You wanted to create this, and like you talked about, you know, creating these new neural pathways, creating daily practices. Can you touch on, you know, this idea of it's not just about like being inspired and motivated when you're done reading this book or as you're going through this book, but some of the action plans that you've put throughout it?
Yeah, so definitely. Thanks for actually, thank you for even noticing that and appreciating it, because I also feel the same way. Like, you can learn stuff and you can inspire yourself and motivate. You can learn different strategies, but if you don't have a way of integrating them, I really think it'll just sort of become the book of the week. Mm-hmm. You know, it'll just be the thing that you put down and you don't really do much with. So in my book, the end of each chapter has a coaching exercise, and a couple chapters even have more than one. So I'm going to teach you things. Like, when I talk about reframing your story, I'm actually going to teach you through a process to show you how you can do that on your own. At the end of the book, it is a really cool one. I call it a one-page action plan. You know, I've owned a business for 20 years, and I've never been able to write like a five-year business plan. Instead, I write these smaller one-page action plans, and I do it by, this goes right back to Tony Robbins, you know, it's that end result thinking or that knowing your outcome. So I'll write down the outcome that I want, and I'll reverse engineer it into this one-page action plan, and it becomes a blueprint. So you can write these blueprints out for yourself in all different kinds of areas of your life. So that's actually in the last chapter of the book. And then each one of the coaching exercises, they build on each other, so that throughout the book, you're building things. And at the end, you write this action plan for yourself. But you can have an action plan for 100 different things. But once you have a blueprint for what you want to do, and I'm sure, Mike, you'd back me up on this, that studies show that people who write down their goals and a plan of how they're going to achieve them have a higher percentage of people who achieve their goals.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's one of the things that, you know, it's Derek Sivers has this great thing about don't share your goals. That's fine. Don't share them necessarily with others, but definitely share them with yourself. Like, have the plans written out, leaving them just in your head or in the ether or whatever. Like, you know, people, it was funny, my son and I, who, and we were talking about this before we jumped into the conversation, as, you know, I take my kids to a lot of cool things and travel and stuff. Well, locally, they had a comic book convention just up the road in a little small town called Sydney, which is on the way to the ferry to that goes from Victoria to Vancouver. And we went to this comic book show, and one of the women from Black Panther, who played one of the warriors, the guardsmen for Black Panther, was there at the convention. I'm like, that's cool. And she actually was the stunt woman for Okoye, who is the lead guardsman. So she was also, you know, involved in that regard. And she was doing a presentation. I thought initially it was just like a Q&A, but it was actually about like her life and how she made choices and how she ultimately got to be in Black Panther and Avenger, the new Avengers film, and all that stuff. And I said to my son, I'm like, do you want to go to this? He goes, sure. I'm like, all right, well, this is cool. My 7-year-old son, who, you know, I mean, he, for sitting in a presentation, I don't know how well he would have been with that. She talked about her journey, like he actually counted that she went through 6 different careers getting to, you know, being in Black Panther. And as we're sitting there, I always checked in. I was checking in with him, like, do you want to go? And he goes, no, no. And he was like intently watching her. And she was talking about like vision boards. He goes, Dad, can we do a vision board? And I'm like, yeah, I think a vision board is a great idea. I mean, vision boards vision boards are great when accompanied with actions to make the vision boards happen, like those triggers, right? So it's just really fascinating that no matter, no matter what age people are at, you know, and if they're open to it, like my 7-year-old son, who's going to be 8, was like, wow, Dad, she was a wrestler and she was in Black Panther. He goes, we should do a vision board for me and for our family. And I'm like, I am on board. I am on board for this, because he sat through this hour-long presentation, which I don't think a kid normally would have sat through, and he was totally into it, and it was a fantastic so I think that, again, having that, like you said, having that plan of action to accompany the, you know, the reframing that you're putting in place, the goals that you have, the projects that you want to put in place, if you don't have those, then yeah, I mean, you're basically twisting in the wind. And I think that's kind of where we need to wrap up, Mary. But I want to thank you for joining me today. Conscious Communications, your step-by-step guide to harnessing the power of your words to change your mind, your choices, and your life. Where can people pick up this book, and where can people learn more about you and follow you as your journey continues?
You can find it on all the Amazons throughout the world. So wherever you're at in the world, your Amazons also, you know, I always say, like, if you look at the book and you read the description and a handful of reviews, you'll know right away if the book is for you or not. I am accessible through my website, Mary Shores, shores.com. And of course, I've got Instagram, Twitter. I love LinkedIn. So anybody who wants to connect with me on LinkedIn, that's great. I also have a small Facebook community called Fearless Ambition, and I am like playing around in there every single day.
Cool. Just for those listening that if you're like, hey, you know what? I've got this down. One of the things that, you know, not too long ago, I had Mike Williams on the show who wrote Getting Things Done for Teens. And I'm a time management guy, and I can't get my kids to do the time management stuff nearly as much as somebody else could because I'm a parent or I'm a friend. If you know that this stuff, if you're like, you know what? I love what Mary talked about. And I could totally see how this, I'm already doing some of this, but I know someone who could use this, get them this book, because that, I mean, that's the next best thing that you could do for yourself, is to give them the gift of having more conscious communications, not just with, you know, others, obviously. I mean, although that'd be nice if they could start communicating consciously with you, but with themselves, because that's such a massive gift, and it's the gift that just keeps on giving. So, Mary, thanks so much for joining me today. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure, Mike.
And that's how things went down. A great conversation with Mary Shores. I encourage you to check out everything that we spoke about, including picking up her book and everything, in the show notes. All the links are there. Any, you know, all the stuff we talked about. And, you know, again, a great conversation. You know, it's always fun when I get to talk to somebody about, like, communication, because I think that that's really important. You're listening to me communicate to you right now. And what I like to communicate to you is that it really is helpful if you enjoyed this podcast, or if you even just want to offer feedback, ratings and reviews, wherever you're listening to them. Apple Podcasts is where we, and when I say we, my producer, John Polster, and I look there quite regularly to see what we're getting in terms of ratings and reviews. And I'm learning a lot. You know, even though we record episodes in advance, there's always room for me to learn and figure out what I can do better. But we also like hearing praise too. So again, ratings are great because it helps people find the show. Reviews give context and a little bit more value to those ratings and to the podcast. So if you have a moment, a spare moment, only takes a moment or two, just say, hey, you know what? I'm listening to the Productivity Podcast. I listened to this particular episode, and here's what I liked. Here's what I think could be better. I'd love to get more of those. So again, ratings and reviews in Apple Podcasts or wherever you are listening to podcasts. And if you're not getting the Productivity Podcast regularly in your podcast application of choice, there's an easy way to fix that. Just subscribe to the show. I produce episodes well in advance, but they are released every single week. So there's quite the catalog, and you can go back and listen to old episodes and then make sure that you're not missing any episodes going forward. So just hit that subscribe button as well. And then, who knows, maybe you'll be listening long enough that you can give a more balanced, informed, whatever, rating and review. So pick one of those things to do. There's your call to action, and and get going on that. So again, thanks to Mary Shores for joining me this week on the show. Thanks to John Polster for producing the show. Thanks to my team for putting together show notes and all that. Thanks to my sponsors. Of course, Blinkist is a sponsor. Again, can't say enough good things about them. In fact, I'm not going to say any more good things about them because I want you to figure out all the goodness yourself. Blinkist.com/timecrafting to start your free 7-day trial. And also, I'd like to thank the UCI Division of Continuing Education for sponsoring the show as well. Visit ce.uci.edu/podcast and then enter that promo code podcast to get 15% off almost every course that they have to offer. And last but not least, I'd also like to thank you for listening. Without you, there is no show. And I hope you'll be back next week to be part of the show once again. I'm Mike Vardy, the host of the Productivityist Podcast, reminding you, until next time, stop guessing and start going. We'll see you later.